Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, joined once again by Brad Olson. You can find Brad Olson at his website, Brad Olson, OLSEN.com. He is award-winning author, public speaker, book publisher, and event producer. And of course, he has amazing books, and he's helped transform my books into some very, very popular books. Again, thank you very much, Brad. The Intuitive Warrior and The Awakening of a Warrior basically took him to another level. They were great books before, but now they're spectacular. So I appreciate your work and the work of Triple C, CCC Publishing, and your catalog there is pretty substantial. And of course, you got who I've had the great privilege of having on several times, Leo Zagami. Very, very spectacular. And didn't you just, Lauren Eisenhower, you got her book too? Oh, okay.
I do indeed.
Nice.
Publication. We got the advanced review copies for Awakening.
Oh, wow.
Frequency. So I got two books with Awakening as the first word in it.
Very good.
It turned out great. It's a really beautiful book. And you'll have to get Laura on because she has some very groundbreaking information about the Dwight D. Eisenhower administration.
Okay.
And how they inherited a very raw deal.
Yeah.
From Truman, who basically signed surrender papers to the Fourth Reich Nazis after they did that flyover of Washington, D.C. in July 1952. All
Truman. Oh, that's good. So everybody thought Eisenhower did that. That was Truman.
Nope. Huh? It was a Truman gaffe. And Eisenhower just inherited a very raw deal. So Laura, in her book, is trying to set the record straight. And
good for her.
Witness testimony is doing a pretty good job in showing that Eisenhower was a pretty good guy, pretty good president. He really loved this country and true patriot.
Yeah, I always thought that. I'm glad she's going to set the record straight on that and squash that because a lot of people give her a lot of grief on that. And she does her best to defend it, but I think the book will probably do the best job of that. People can see for themselves and read the history. So you were just in, speaking of Nazis and their wars, you were just in Vietnam and Laos, right?
Yeah, just Laos. Flew into Laos. Bangkok airport, but that didn't really count. Yeah, I had a press trip to the ASEAN Tourism Forum. I used to do that a lot. Was in Laos exactly 20 years before this trip.
Wow.
And it's to cover the 10 ASEAN nations. Before they do their political meeting this summer, every January they do the tourism forum. And so I got invited back to that. And
you froze up there for a little bit. You're still frozen up, actually. I guess that talk about Nazis was not good. All right. So, looks like Brad is frozen up. Hopefully he can come back in, unfreeze himself, but. You know, he was in Laos, and I saw him. He was at a museum, and it had lots of. Yeah, he's probably going to go out and come back in. So we had it had lots of American war paraphernalia in there, and he was telling me that every couple of weeks, some poor soul gets blown up by unexploded ordnance that we've dropped in that area back during the Vietnam War. Which sucked in Laos and, all the other areas too. So, very, very tragic war. now, we know that Bush was somehow involved in that. And, the Bush family, I think, because you've exposed the Bush family, Brad, as being pretty much, they were very heavily connected to the Nazis in Germany. And you've come to my show and given incredible pictures. And I was telling you before the show that you basically opened my mind to all that stuff. And I understand now that pretty much our government, and there's the family. They're hanging out with, now who were they taking pictures with when they were younger?
So a lot of people don't know that George Bush, his real name was George Schreff.
Right.
And in this picture, according to Otto Skorzeny, from a book called The Hitler-Bush Connection, pictured here is the Schreff family and a few of their friends holding Mother Schreff's hand. At left is Martin Bormann, In front is Reinhard Gehlen. In back is Joseph Mengele as a young man. At center right in the German Navy uniform is George Herbert Walker Schreff. And Herbert was a pervert. He was one of the worst that ever set foot in the White House.
Yeah, I've heard some bad, very bad things about him with minors and so forth. So that seems to run in that Nazi realm. They really like the children a little bit too much.
Yeah, kind of a pedo thing too.
Yeah,
stealing their power and
yes, there you go.
Chrome.
That's the they love to. It's a power control thing, and they do that with children, and that seems to give them power over people, and then they go forth and because they do that because they feel like, you know, they're like above us, and we're just like cattle to them, and they can do whatever they want with us. So we really need to understand that and stop letting them do these wars and so forth.
Yeah, these wars continue, and the remnants of them also are still very apparent. And I didn't know it until I got out to the Plain of Jars to investigate this Iron Age era megalithic site. But these jars, these huge stone carved jars, some of them 3 meters tall, much taller than I am, and
wow,
could fit a whole body in there. That's exactly what they were used for, is secondary burials. So a newly deceased body would be placed in there, and they would let the body decompose to the point of just being bones. Then the bones were pulled out and then reburied next to the jar. So the jars were like a funerary urn in a giant necropolis. And so the well-to-do families of this trading empire in northern Laos, because it was right along a very major trade route from the Gulf of Tonkin, they were trading salt or ironware, which up in this particular area, they were mining iron and other ores and trading those items. So some of these families of the traders became very wealthy, and they commissioned these jars. But the legend is that the jars were created by giants, and the jars were used as drinking cups.
Mm.
So I thought that's funny, because almost in every megalithic location I've ever been to, Michael, there's also the legend of giants having a hand in construction or moving them or just commissioning them for their own purposes. And that's why these blocks are so huge sometimes. Maybe for a big guy, it's not as heavy to lift. But for tiny little humans, it's very impressive to see these giant megalithic structures. So where the Plain of Jars is located, in a town called Fonsavan. I'm getting over a little cold right now. But in this town, Fonsavan, and I had to remember Juan O'Savin. This is how I remember the name. Phone O'Savin. He was, this area, being this major crossroads, was also the Ho Chi Minh Trail during the Vietnam War. So the secret war in Laos was when the U.S., starting in 1964, started bombing this country all the way until 1973.
Good God.
But for 6 years, they didn't tell Congress, they didn't tell the American people, and the secret war dropped more bombs on this poor little country of Laos than any other country of the world. It's the most bombed per capita country in the world. And the strip that was the Ho Chi Minh Trail is just littered with these UXOs, these unexploded ordnances, which still take a heavy toll on the local population. Every 2 weeks, even to this day, somebody is maimed or killed by one of these UXOs.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, that reminds me of, you know, because these guys are always trying to hide, these guys, this deep state agenda thing is all, they're always trying to hide the giants. So Jekyll Island also has those giants, and they've been discovered, and I think the Rockefellers actually build a home over one of the burial mounds of one of the giants, and it's insane. And they found pictures or paintings or whatever of these giants basically eating children. Like, what the heck? So they have a long history of doing some very nefarious stuff.
I think there's a statue in Bern, Switzerland, of a giant with a child halfway in its mouth, just chomping away, hidden in plain sight. And again, it's kind of like the whole child pedophilia thing with the elite.
Mm-hmm.
If they can steal the power, or the mana is what the Hawaiians call it, and build a house on an ancient burial mound, it's like you're stealing their power.
Mm.
And it just never seems to end. They just keep doing it over and over and over again, generation after generation. So they must be tapping into something there.
So do you think they're tapping into something, they're trying to hide something, or tapping into something there in Laos?
Well, it was more of a necropolis, but during the first Indochina War, that area became a battlefield, and there are still trenches all over the plain, although the jar locations are scattered all around the town of Phone Savin. It's now a World Heritage Site, so they're all protected.
Mm.
But on the Plain of Jars, when I got there and started walking around, I was really surprised to see all the bomb craters, as big as a duck pond, and just pockmarked with the bomb craters from the second Indochina War, which we know as Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
or the Secret War in Laos. But during the period of time they were fighting the French, and it was also a civil war that was taking place, because you know how America will back whatever dictator or royal family or corrupt government they can, as we did in South Korea, as we did in Cambodia, as we did in Laos.
Mm.
All three of those obviously failed, and those royal family members in Laos in 1975, when the country finally fell and became the People's Democratic Republic of Laos, or Lao PDR, all those very wealthy family members were taken to re-education camps, and like the French Revolution, off with their heads. So they paid a price for backing the wrong side. But during the French conflict, it started in right after World War II, when a lot of the Southeast Asian nations and many other countries around the world said, hey, we don't need the British, we don't need the French, the Dutch to rule over us. We want our independence. And so they fought this war of independence, and turns out that the Plain of Jars, because it was this major crossroads area, was a major battlefield. So there are even soldiers who died in action that were just buried there. So it's got this very cryptic history of being this burial place for many, many generations.
Yeah, definitely. And when I was in the SEAL teams in the early 80s, I think it was for 83 or something like that, I was working with the Thai SEALs and Pattaya Beach. And some of those guys had been up to the Laos border, and I guess they were like duking it out at one time back in the early 80s. The Vietnamese had came all the way over, and they were like trying to like create some conflict, or I don't know, maybe even encroach into Thailand. And the Thai SEALs went up there, and they just kicked some serious butt. So they drove out whoever was trying to like come through, and that was the end of that. So pretty good fighter. So, but when I was in Thailand, I saw all the ancient stuff there, all the ancient Buddhist stuff, and stuff that goes way, way back. Even further back, we go into the Mahabharata, and they talk about like a nuclear war that happened, you know, in these areas. So it's very, very ancient area.
Oh, very much so. And then also during the Vietnam War, during the secret war of Laos, of course, we never declared war on this country, nor did we in Cambodia, but they're flying out of Udon Thani, was a air base in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Thailand's the only country that's been able to retain its independence,
right?
Because it would always just play off of one side or the other. And in this case, they supported the Americans. And then after we pulled out, they didn't support them. But at the time, all our missions that were flying to northern Laos were going out of Thailand, just right on the border. And sometimes those planes would get shot at, shot down, and had to make an emergency landing. So it was the CIA that went into Laos and created the secret airbase at Vung Vieng. And I went and visited there, and you can still see the old airstrip. And it was, everybody said, yeah, it was run by the CIA. They're also doing a whole bunch of mind control stuff. Remember in the movie Apocalypse Now, when they were flying in to go surfing, they're playing the loudspeaker. Da, 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 da. Well, it was a lot more insidious than that. They were doing mind control on the Laotian people and trying to get them to back the royal family in the civil war and go along with their whole agenda. But they wouldn't, just like the Vietnamese wouldn't, just like the Cambodians. And then after the Americans pulled out, you have this worst despot dictator called Pol Pot down in Cambodia that killed 1 in 3 Cambodians. I mean, he was even worse than Stalin, killing his own people. So every time America pulls out of these horrific conflicts and we see history repeat itself in Afghanistan, it creates this huge vacuum where these other dictators can move in and do even more horrific things.
Yeah. And the so after the Vietnam War, the Russians came in and basically took the place of the Americans. And I remember being in the Philippines, and we used to practice what's called short field operations, where we would come in with a C-130 and drive off the back of it as it's rolling down the a runway, not stopping, just kind of rolling down. We would ride out the back, and we had like big 50 cal machine guns and 40 mic grenade launchers. I was on a 40 mic grenade launcher, and we were going to like blow up the backfire bombers in case we went to war, nuclear war, because the Russians had had those bombers there, and they were going to fly them into America. So that was one of the, things, the Cold War time frame, you know. And another thing I had to do was like strap on a backpack backpack nuke and free fall out and drop behind Russian lines and blow up passes and stuff. It's crazy time frame. But now we're seeing the Russians are kind of like the good guys. It's like the Soviet Union threw off the fascist side that basically had taken over Russia, and they got back their old country, and actually they're better now. So the people are the overall people are wealthier, more prosperous. You know, during the Tsar times, there was a little, the rich had more, and so that's been evened out. Because when the Soviet, when the basically the deep state came in and took over Russia, they made it really, really bad, and Russians like threw them out, and they're doing a good thing now. So I see Russia kind of as a pushback on the deep state. And of course, the United States is, I think, for a long time has been deep state controlled.
For sure. It's funny you bring up Russia and some of the, and filling the vacuum, because after Americans pulled out of Vietnam, the Russians came in there and they built these giant, megalithic, ugly city block buildings that we saw. And first, everywhere I went, I was with these other two Australians. We taught English in Japan, and we were among the first backpackers to get into Vietnam in January 93. Wow. And everywhere we went, they called us Linkso. I didn't know what that meant till somebody said, well, we thought you were Russian, because they hadn't seen tall white people since the Russians were there. And there's still a lot of remnants of Russian communist architecture throughout all of Southeast Asia.
Yeah, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, I would grow the beard and wear the shalwar kameez. And we have guys that would come in and hadn't basically figured out how to, like, you know, look like a local. And they come in all clean and looking white, because you got to get your tan on and everything. And so I remember we drive through town, and yeah, there I am. So that was me. That's that. In fact, that picture right there was when we talked to the doctor that led us to Osama bin Laden. That night.
It's historic.
Yeah, historic picture, no doubt. And I don't know why I took that picture. And then we went out and we did that, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. I And that's the only picture I've kept from all those years. I don't have any other pictures. Maybe one or two, but that's really the only one I kept. So not a big picture taker, because you're not supposed to, but you know, I kind of regret it now. But yeah, that was a very interesting time, because we have, you know, seen now that we are basically compromised, you know, through the Bush family, Clintons, and all these different groups, Obama and so forth, that have basically compromised us and let the evil deep state come in. And I call them Nazis now, because their connections are unbelievable. And you brought up a lot of that too, how they had the breakaway down into Argentina, the Bavarian villages and everything. You like brought all that up. I'm like, oh my God, you can't deny it. And then the breakaway civilization, I just had Juan O'Saban come on, and he just basically blew it up like you did. He took it to another level, and he talked about how, you know, the last German after Hitler, for like 1 month, they had like a president or whatever. And he even, during the Nuremberg trial, said, yeah, we have a breakaway civilization that went to Antarctica. So it's out there in the history, but it's, of course, it's been suppressed and so forth.
That was Admiral Dolenz, who was the head of the U-boat fleet. And in 1943, he also said that we have created this impregnable fortress in an empire of ice. I'm sort of paraphrasing there, to say that the Shangri-La in ice, implying that they were going to escape down to Antarctica, which I do believe they did, and set up not one, but several bases down there. One they called the New Berlin base, and another was Base 211 in the New Schwabenland, very large claim that they made in this area. And it's funny you bring up Juan O'Saban, because he's right now on his way back from Antarctica.
Yep.
He was on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he did an interview with Tom Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the exact same location I did, on the northern tip of the Palmer Peninsula. So I wouldn't say that he really, I don't know if he was able to leave the cruise ship for any substantial period of time.
Got it. No.
Plus, that area of the Palmer Peninsula is kind of like the designated tourism zone. So there's not a lot of high-tech or ancient civilizations or other things you can really find there. Believe me, I tried. I looked. But it's certainly a beautiful area, and certainly a great getaway. I think you and Tracy should definitely take a trip down there someday. It'll be a trip you'll never forget.
Oh, great. Cool. And he talked about how, like, the sub bases, basically they went in, and there's, like, huge chambers, and they can grow stuff because of the volcanic activity. It's, like, you know, nice under there. And it's makes a lot of sense. So they created Shangri-La there because, you know, under that. Yeah, look at that. I mean, how big is that? It's like bigger than North America or something, right?
Oh, yeah, you could fit two lower 48s into Antarctica. Wow. And the New Schwabenland area would be the whole West Coast. It's a huge area, they claimed. So Juan was saying that on his latest interviews, that they found an underwater river, and that makes perfect sense because there are more volcanoes in Antarctica than any other continent, 91 known active volcanoes. So it would have the propensity of creating these big domes under the ice, mm-hmm. as well as flowing water, and then you have a heat and energy source built right in.
Right.
So it would make sense that they would found an area where they could put a base with these features. And that area is called the Schumacher Hills. And it's right next to what's known as the Schumacher Ponds, are these lakes that never freeze because they're heated with geothermal heat. And so the pilot who landed a seaplane on the Schumacher Ponds, his exploratory party in 1938, founded Base 211. And if I were ever to get a chance to go back there, well, Michael, you might be the first one I asked to come with.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to go to this area
yeah.
and bring some Geiger counters, because mm-hmm. it's a pretty good chance in retaliation for Admiral Byrd basically getting his ass handed to him in the Battle of High Jump. We went back there a decade later and nuked that area. And that radiation would still be there that we would be able to detect this radiation. In fact, there's a venture capital company that has approached me, and they're called VCCross.com. They want to try to raise $10 million to do an exploratory documentary film to go down there, not only to New Schwabenland, but to the pyramid, to climb it, to create samples. And so it could be a very historic, groundbreaking expedition. So I guess I'm
recruiting. There's a pyramid down there? Maybe we talked about it, but I don't remember. There's a pyramid down there?
Yep, in the Ellsworth Range. It's the one you've seen on Ancient Aliens. It's perfectly symmetrical, four-sided, 2 kilometers on each side. So it's huge. It's bigger than the Great Pyramid. And I talked to a travel company that does expeditions down there, and they assured me, yeah, we could get you there. It'll be a pretty penny, but that's why we're trying to raise this money to do a documentary film about it.
Wow, I'm looking at let me pull it up. I'm looking at pictures of it. It definitely looks like a pyramid. They actually let people go see this.
So they
like run off people that try and go to other areas, like Navies show up and like run them off.
I don't know if they can really run you off because it's so far away from anything. So this company who I talked to in southern Chile, they have an office. And I also went to their Salt Lake City office to just follow up. They said they fly over this. Now, they don't think it is a pyramid. They think it's what they called a nunatak, just an attractive mountain. I said, "Well, have you ever landed on it?"
I mean, look at these other shapes too. Look like pyramids as well.
Yeah,
looks like a complex.
It's definitely worth investigating.
Yeah,
and we can rent a plane that actually lands on the ice, set up a base camp, and then go explore these structures.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Let's go tomorrow.
All right. Well, you're in good shape. You can handle it.
Heck yeah.
You used to live in Tahoe.
I like the outdoors. I like the cold. I like the hot. I can do it all. So,
cool. I'll let them know that you're into it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be amazing. So, there's definitely some interesting things that go. You know, the Perry Reeves maps. You know, look at Antarctica and all that area, and has it without ice.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't make those. They were passed down to him. So there's definitely information that's out there that's been hidden, and some of it leaks out. I'd love to see the Vatican Library. I actually know a nun, or I have a friend whose sister is a nun that has actually been in the Vatican Library. I'm going to try and get her on a show. So we'll see how much she can reveal, you know, but... I'm sure she's really restricted, but that would be, you know, amazing. Like, did you see any like dinosaurs down there or something? Dinosaur bones? Or not dinosaur, but a dragons. Yeah. Cause I've heard they're down there. I don't know. So it's pretty funny. And they're catacombs and stuff. They got catacombs. And, yeah. I'd love to know that.
Stacks of skulls and stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Pretty weird place.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it sounds like, you know, the current world events mirror, you know, the past. And this same group that maybe has captured the Earth in some ways and maybe passed technology off to different groups like the Nazis of Germany, they seem to be trying to control power. But in a lot of accounts, it seems like maybe they're losing their control. What are your thoughts?
Well, they're quickly losing control, and the main way to understand that is look at how exposed they are. Now, we never talked about the Octagon group in Switzerland 5 years ago. Nobody knew about the cabal, really, or the deep state. All these things are becoming very popularized terms. So we see the control structure. We know it's the globalists with the printing press able to finance just about anything, throw all the money into Ukraine that just goes down to a black hole. And when you control the printing press, I care not who makes the laws, said Nathan Rothschild. So they have this whole thing lock, stock, and barrel, and then they pay for, bought and paid for our intelligence agencies. So the great journalist Anthony Hilder, I think he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. He said the CIA and by extension the FBI are nothing but the enforcement arm of the globalists. So they do the wet works. They do the take out the duly elected Democratic president and install a fascist government. And they were doing that all through the 1950s and 60s in South America. Mm. And that allowed this Fourth Reich to really blossom down there. I think I told you on a previous interview, I was going over all these maps before my trip down there 5 years ago and finding that there are huge land holdings that are owned by Germans.
Yep.
And they act as micronations. So even the host country cannot go in there to enforce the law of the country, that they're their own entities, sort of like the Vatican City is in Rome, but the Roman police can't go into Vatican City, nor can the Italian army. So they're very clever in creating these city-states or micronations where they could also work on their backward engineering technology. And I went to one of these locations near Cordoba, Argentina, and there are a small mountain range in the center of Argentina, and up in those hills is this little German town called La Falda. And I've been to Germany many times, and I'll tell you, Michael, it's like you went right back into Bavaria. Same with Bariloche in Patagonia. Mm. Total German enclave, and looks like you're right there in Germany.
So what do you think of their new president, Javier, I think is it pronounced Meliu? Meleli or whatever?
Well, I think he could be just another globalist.
Oh, no kidding.
By the playbook.
It sounds like, you know, for a certain period of time, maybe he was kind of like a, because they said he was the same as like what they called a Bolsonaro in Brazil, the, you know, kind of like a Trump of Brazil. And then they called him the Trump of Argentina. But, you know, I at this point, I'm not really trusting any politician. You know, I like Trump a lot. I hope that he's a good guy, but I there's a lot of questionable stuff that goes on with his group and who he supports. And I've seen this over time. So the things that he pushes and so forth. So I don't know if that we can trust any of these politicians at any point now. So what do we do? Is like, do we just like collapse the whole system? I think that's what we really need to do and start over. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. There's a lot of good people like you and I and many others that would do the right thing. We wouldn't be compromised. That's what we need going forward. All of these different groups, the CIA, FBI, all these different groups have to be collapsed and basically new people put in charge and downsize them considerably and then make an agreement like Putin said, hey, I just want to trade with the world. I don't want to, you know, war with anybody. We could all be friends. And, you know, how far can you trust them either? But that sounds like ultimately what should be the plan.
Yeah, the Bolsonaro guy, new Argentinian president, he just spoke at the Davos. Okay, you're kowtowing to your masters, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I guess in this day and age, you got to kind of play both sides, mm-hmm. sort of the way that Trump had to initiate Operation Warp Speed.
Right.
He might say it was always, hey, I took hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That was my vaccine. But nonetheless, a lot of people followed his lead and got that thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, with some of these people that are playing like they're good guys and not really so much, that's kind of like a disclosure thing. And going to Davos itself, I talked to another guy who said that there's like a 2% of Davos is bad, kind of like, you know, a lot of other places. I worked for the CIA. I worked in the military. I saw bad guys in the military and in the CIA. But they are a small percentage. Now, everybody else basically follows their orders. And that's what the Davos crowd does. If that 2% of Davos, if they say, get vaccinated, everybody. And then they do. Because we're seeing a lot of people that you're saying, well, they would have definitely have told those people not to get vaccinated. But we're seeing a lot of people are like, for instance, YouTube's former CEO, her son, 19 years old, I think, just got really sick or maybe even died. So we're seeing a lot of people are, you know, succumbing to the vaccination. What are your thoughts on all of that?
You know, it's starting to hit home close, Michael, when friend of a friend and someone you knew in high school and people our age are just in great shape, but starting to have sicknesses. And, you know, it's a lot more pervasive than you're being told. Of course, all these videos of athletes falling and even celebrities or TV personalities just dropping on the stage. Look, that never happened 5 years ago.
Not at this rate. Yeah, never.
So something is going on. Absolutely, something's going on. And there have to be some detox protocols, really, for all of us. I think we've all been tainted.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't take the jab, what's coming down in the chemtrails, fluoride in the water, to GMOs in the crops. So really, air, land, and water are all tainted at this point. So I was just, I was a speaker at the Conscious Life Expo last week.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And I went to the Medical Freedom Panel, and you have Del Bigtree and Robert O. Young.
Nice.
Steve Kirsch.
Wow.
And
nice group.
Yeah, a couple other big names. Mm. And they're basically saying, look, we're all tainted with this stuff. We all have to start doing protocols to get it out of our body because it's very harmful with the shedding, with the graphene oxide. The whole Morgellon syndrome is really worldwide now. Mm. And it's all being done to us without our knowledge or without our consent. So it's a very dangerous thing. That's why I have a chapter in the back of my book, Beyond Esoteric, about Morgellon nanobots. And so few people have ever even heard of that.
Yeah.
Let alone the smart dust particles that can come down in the chemtrails and really wreak havoc on all that are exposed to it. And if you don't believe it, well, look up the patent because it's right there. All of these things they're doing to us, and I list the patent for Ebola, swine flu, the AIDS cure, the cancer cure, the Morgellons patent, and the Peerbright Institute with the patent for Corona. So patents can only be given out when you create that chimera. You cannot patent life as we know it. So it had to have come from a laboratory. It had to have been created to get a patent. So these patents are proof positive that this has been created and fostered upon the people.
Yeah. Well, we can thank the Bush family for bringing over Joseph Mengele. And of course, that's Big Pharma right now. So it's very, very frustrating because all of these criminals that we have been pointing out are still running around. And the Bush family being one of them, and a lot of these people that have supported Big Pharma and so forth. We have the politicians that pushed the vaccination program and still do. And is there something new coming out? Because I just saw someone that's disclosing that in Miami. And I haven't backed this up. I can't, you know, somebody, you know, will post stuff and it's like a false information sometimes. But I reposted it and we'll see where it goes. And someone's going to do the investigation. But in Miami right now, supposedly the hospitals are filling up with people. And supposedly there's all the symptoms of COVID, but more, like leg swelling and some other stuff. And it's happening to everyone, not just elderly like it was before, and people middle-aged, and very rarely anyone younger, but every age now. So we've talked about how they're probably going to come out with another COVID-like pandemic that's been hinted at for a long time. And
Well, it's not even being hinted at anymore. At Davos last month, they're talking about Disease X.
Disease X.
Someone already working on a vaccine. What do you know? But it's a hypothetical disease. So how can you come out with a vaccine for something that's a hypothetical? It's just a place marker to say, oh, this will be the next one. How do you know there's going to be a next one? How did they know when Fauci said during Trump's term in 2017 that during his administration there would be this big pandemic? Well, it was a plandemic, really. And sure, you're right. I think the next one is just probably going to get rolled out this summer. In fact, Sasha Stone was at Conscious Life Expo.
Oh, wow.
He said his insiders told him that it's going to happen at the Paris Olympics in July.
Oh, wow.
There's going to be this big outbreak of something, and that'll be the start of the next pandemic.
Mm.
So perhaps associated with the 5G, because, you know, if they alter the frequency of the 5G towers, you get microwave poisoning. And the symptoms are very much like you're catching the flu. Mm-hmm. And so if that also triggers what the late Dr. Rashid Batar said, and he was killed, poisoned, a week after he made this observation that in a laboratory they found that there are these payloads in the wackadoodle that will erupt
right
when hit with a certain frequency of 5G. And it perfectly mimics the Marburg symptoms. So, yep, of course, they'll blame it on Marburg, a new outbreak, but really it's 5G poisoning.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that have been talking about that. And, yeah, I talked to Dr. Ertis specifically about that. And he told me that he had him on a very good protocol, and he was making – he basically drove to his house and he was basically dying. He was almost dead. So Dr. Artis put him on a protocol. He cleared it up. He was doing good. And for whatever reason, he went back to his doctor buddies and then he dies. So, they put him back on some other stuff, methylene blue or something like that.
Yep.
He said that was what, you know, took him down. I said, yeah, I've taken that. It like made me, I didn't like it. It like made fluid in my lungs, all kind of stuff. So methylene blue, I don't recommend it. So if somebody tells you to use methylene blue, don't go there. So I guess he did that and it basically killed him. For whatever he had in his system that was being cleared out, there was still some in there and it basically activated it and it didn't do well. So he's gone. But yeah, he was disclosing. There's a lot of other people that are disclosing, saying that the next big virus was going to be, you know, the bleeding disease. So we'll see. We'll see.
And then remember during the last scamdemic, when we were all locked down, they're putting in 5G towers in schools and in churches and all around urban neighborhoods.
Yep.
Dr. Brian Artis was also on the Medical Freedom Panel.
Oh, good.
As well as Lee Dundas.
Nice.
Boy, did they have a lot to say. You know, since I got a chance to meet Dr. Artis, shook his hand, told him I loved his research. Since then, I've been chewing the nicotine gum.
Yeah.
And feeling, yeah, that it's attaching to something and helping to pull out some nastiness. So he's really done a lot of great work, really cutting ground with all the finding out that the venom, the crate snake and cobra snake venom,
yep,
can be found and traced synthetically in some of the vaccines.
Yep.
He really was the one who found that out, and a lot of people have looked into it and also discovered that what he was saying was true.
Yeah, and they went after, because I guess nicotine, like you're talking about, I remember listening to one of his shows, and I started chewing the nicotine gum, too. And I had, like, I didn't have any taste, I didn't have any smell, and I was like, maybe that'll get, because he was talking about how people would get their smell and taste back. I'll try that. So sure enough, in 2 days, I got my smell and my taste back, because it basically clears the nicotine receptors, which have been flooded with this stuff, you know, because like you said, we're all shedded upon, and everybody's infected now. So you have to do the things that clear you. So fortunately, I got to meet him and thank him in person like you. We were having dinner together. So out of the blue, I asked him, I don't know why, but I hit a home run with it. I said, have you, you're revealing a lot of stuff. Have they attacked you? Have they like used directed energy weapons on you? And he's like, why, they have. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, they usually do it when you're in bed. And I was like, that's happened to me several times too. So we had a real good conversation about that. It was pretty funny. Grounding. So anyone that gets hit by a directed energy weapon, ground yourself. One of the ways is go to the bathroom, get in a shower, run water. For me, I basically sit on the toilet, and it basically the piping goes into the ground, so this grounding you. So my son has been hit by it. He did the same thing. He got in the water. So a lot of people are, you know, getting hit with these directed energy weapons. If you're revealing, or you're part of a family that reveals, so it's very frustrating, but there are ways to overcome it. And like right now, I have a grounding mat my feet are on. So it's very, because I've sat here sometimes and go, like I'm getting hit, you know. So now I have a grounding mat. My feet are always on a grounding mat. So another thing. Directed energy weapons. Let's go down that rabbit hole. Maui, you know, Lahaina, basically hit with directed energy weapons. We just recently had Chile also hit with directed energy weapons. And lo and behold, there's some similarities. Of course, you know, you get the burnout to the ground and people dying. No one running away because they're getting fried by directed energy weapons and they're microwaved. Same thing happened in the Twin Towers. That's why up to 1,000 people jumped to their deaths from the Twin Towers, because they're being microwaved. And you can see a lot of them have their clothes off. It looks like they were in the bathroom washing down. Somehow they get the same thing. So it somehow has a positive effect. And maybe the water stopped or something. And then they get started getting fried. So they're just jumping out the window. So, the blue roofs and blue things that weren't fried in, Lahaina, same thing in, the blue frequency somehow doesn't get burned. And the same thing happened in, Chile, I guess the area where they got fried, that's where they're doing the 15-minute city stuff.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, in Valparaiso, Chile, I drove through there. It's a beautiful area.
Ah.
Just like I used to live in Lahaina, Maui, the two places I live, they're gone. They're burned up. Lo and behold, 15-minute city, lo and behold, same burn signatures as our Northern California fires from the last few years.
Paradise, yeah.
Trees burning from the inside out. Never seen that happen in a wild forest fire. And also cars melting down to the engine block with molten aluminum. Never see that in a natural forest fire. But they're doing predictive programming on all this too, Michael. And I like the meme that says, I don't watch movies to be entertained anymore. I watch them to decode them. And just like on Super Bowl Sunday a week ago, right before the game started, when most people were just tuning in, they did a memorial to Lahaina, Maui, and said the worst wildfires. So they have to reinforce the narrative to get away with their crimes of being a do attack. And then, of course, it's the pulling the heartstrings. Let's have the Lahaina football team come out and we'll do a moment of silence for all that the parish. So you're decoding this and just saying, okay, obviously it was an attack, because how we saw so many times with 9/11, how they would get us to, oh, these terrorists, 19 terrorists with box cutters, reinforce the narrative. But those who are paying attention can decode that and see that they're obviously, they're putting cover on their story, which is coming apart at the seams. And I'll tell you, I lived in Maui for 7 months. I have friends that are still out there. People are really pissed off. And now that they're starting to rebuild Maui, because Lahaina was the official kingdom where they were going to try to gain their independence.
Oh,
and
wow.
Most of the elders lived in that town, and they did not want development in Lahaina. They did not want any of this 15-minute city. So, wow, how convenient. All the people who were most against, and the wealthy landowners, they all just got taken out on August 8th. And there's another date of something happening on the 8th of the month, which seems to have occultic symbolism. So they like to encode it hidden in plain sight again to do it on these dates. So they have the numerology on their side too. But here's the thing, Michael, unlike 9/11, which took several of us months or years to figure out, now when they do these false flags, we know it within a day. Even though they're trying so hard, getting celebrities like The Rock and Oprah to give away food at the shelters, it's all just staged. It's all just bogus.
It is. I had a lot of people along from that area, and they had like gifts and goes, and a lot of my audience, we gave tons of money, and we just blew them up. And they were all very thankful because the government was doing nothing for those people. Wow.
What did they offer somebody that lost their home? $750. One-time payment. That's all you get. Are you kidding me? You know how expensive it is to live in Maui? That wouldn't even cover a week of expenses.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we're sending all this money to Ukraine. We're giving all these illegal immigrants so many perks, benefits, and cash cards. And everything is upside down now. And those who are paying attention can really see how misguided everything has become.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the Super Bowl, and we know that Taylor Swift was with that one football player. Remember how she joined with him a long time ago, and they started like, oh, she's like with the football player with the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. How about that? Wow. Mm. And on top of that, Toby Keith died before the Super Bowl. So we know how these guys do a sacrifice. Taylor Swift had actually signed with Toby Keith's record label, and she was with him for many years. So there's a connection there. And then on the other side, when they're having the victory parade in Kansas City, there's three black men that kind of looked like maybe they came from Africa that started shooting the place up. Fortunately, the locals tackled them and stopped that nonsense. But one person was killed. And who gave money to that woman's fund? Taylor Swift. Wow.
Aww.
So, oh, yeah, I know, right? So you witch. Really, she's a witch. And she does her concerts. She has witch performances in her concerts. It's like, wow. Or come on.
And then, of course, her boyfriend, the football player Travis Kelce, is getting $20 million a year from Pfizer.
Pfizer.
Still promoting the jab.
Still promoting the jab.
Oh, man.
Because it's not doing well for them, because people are realizing we all got had by that scam. Total scam. It's like, Joe Biden, don't worry. You won't get sick and you won't have to go to the hospital. Of course, that's been proven wrong on many levels. And he even got sick like twice. His wife's been sick three times. So it's all, or whoever's playing him. So it's like you're saying, it's a world turned upside down. Tracy made it, like, remember the Pirates of the Caribbean where they're on the boat and the ship turns upside down. It's a whole nother world. It's kind of like that right now.
Well, yeah. Well, fortunately, the people with eyes to see and ears to hear can see right through that. And these false flags can be really seen for what they are. It's a land grab. It's to implement the 15-minute cities, to get rid of the people who don't want to go along with the plan. Just like the Titanic was not even the Titanic. It was a ship called the Olympic.
Yep.
And it had been swapped out right before that maiden voyage because the real Titanic had been damaged. So they swapped out by the real ship called the Olympic. And then when they finally got down there with the mini sub, they had seen the base plate, which was engraved into the ship with the letters of the Olympic. And they had just painted over another placard. And not only that, Michael, but the ship, the Titanic, had the metal flaring out. So it was an explosion. The captain drove it right up to the iceberg, and that's when they detonated the bomb.
Oh,
the
wow.
whole reason for doing it is because those who oppose the creation of the Federal Reserve,
mm-hmm.
that's Guggenheim and Astor, several other the wealthiest men in the world, were meant to meet with J.P. Morgan to discuss the merits of creating a Federal Reserve. J.P. Morgan, at the last minute, didn't get on the ship. They did. And because there were so few lifeboats, men and or women and children first, all the men went down with the ship. And then what do you know? A couple years later, the Federal Reserve was created.
Yep.
Another false flag.
That Jekyll Island thing. Jekyll Island thing. So, yeah, they met at Jekyll Island before that and came up with the plan. So that's so how do we beat these guys? What we're doing right now, revealing, having these conversations and stopping them out, I think that's a way we beat them. What are your thoughts?
It's the only way we can beat them because we're nonviolent people.
Right.
And if we were to try to fight them, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, we'll get slaughtered. They have all the weapons. They have the everything to defeat the patriots when they try to rise to arms. So the only thing we can do is expose them. The only thing we can do is to have our consciousness in the right place and to know that we're dealing with literal demons that are trying to create this fascist world that will be horrific for anyone who lives through their depopulation agenda, which is currently underway. And it's an anti-human depopulation. So they're really trying to get rid of 90% of it. That's what it said on the Georgia Guidestones before they were destroyed and good thing. So there is resistance rising, but more importantly, there is consciousness rising. Mm. And that is the Great Awakening. And that will be our savior. Because look, we got the numbers. We got billions of us who do not want to see this happen. But these billions need to know what we're up against. And once we do, you'll never go along with it. So the best thing we can do is just noncompliance. I mean, that's what Gandhi did to create independence for India.
Yeah.
Just nonviolent noncompliance. And he's now considered the father of that country, just in the same way that Martin Luther King was the leader of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with nonviolent noncompliance, Rosa Parks not giving up her seat in the bus. These people are heroes today.
Yep.
So you can achieve great things by using nonviolent methods to influence other people.
Yeah, and I think that on a certain God consciousness level, that when we start to rise up together, because just a few days before the Georgia Guidestones went down, I was going to be with a group that we're going to go there. We're going to do a prayer and ceremony and so forth. So it blew up. So there was like a lightning strike that hit it. And then I've heard from some people it was a drone strike right after that. So it is. And then it was cleared that next day.
Yeah.
All gone. So that's a consciousness thing. And then just recently, we did a convoy type thing to support the border, you know.
And, yeah.
In Texas, basically, Georgia, or not Georgia, but Texas Governor Abbott basically finally stood up because he got, from what I heard, there was a flyer that we had for that, and we're going to meet at all different border places. And he got that on his desk. And then he said, okay, let's start putting up the concertina wire and let's stop that. So it does happen when we get involved on a peaceful level, because that was a peaceful demonstration that we did. And so far, there's been no violence like there was on J6. Now, J6, of course, happened in Washington, D.C., where they control, it's a city state. And we know about the city states. We've talked about it several times. The Vatican, City of London, and Washington, D.C. But city states are not part of the country that they're in. So they can do whatever they want. And they have their own rules. They have their own government. They have, like, and we're supposed to believe it's our government and their own judicial system and so forth. But it's against us. It's not for us like we think it was created for.
Yeah, and they're basically their own laws, their own judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that's why all those J6 protesters, if they walked into the Capitol, some are still sitting in jail.
Yeah, over 1,000.
Get a fair or speedy trial.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Only one of them has gotten off. There's like 1,100, over 1,100 that have been basically convicted, and they're sitting in R. They're still waiting after 3 years for a trial, like you talked about. That's insane. That's not legal anywhere in the United States. But they're in Washington, D.C. Somehow it's able to happen. So that should be proof enough that we don't go to D.C. to protest anymore. We protest in the United States because there we have control. There we, the people, will back each other. We'll make sure that we have good sheriffs and good people watching over us. There was a lot of good people watching over us in high places, very, very high places in government that were helping to protect us and make sure that we didn't get attacked or harassed or anything like that. And it didn't happen anywhere. So it was actually a great experience.
Of course, there are many agitators, that guy Epps and other FBI agent provocateurs. Let's take the Capitol. Break in there.
He said that the night before. He was like going around telling everybody, tomorrow we got to take the Capitol. Tomorrow we got to take. And a lot of people recorded him, yet he's free.
Yeah.
He's free. And all these other people just walked around inside the Capitol, didn't do anything, just looked around because he kind of got, pushed in with the crowd. I'm helping one person that's like that, this woman named Cindy, and she basically was approached and just recently. So we're years later, they're still coming after people. She got just pushed in. She asked, hey, I didn't want to be in here. How do I get out of here? And they tried to make her go in out a wrong door and probably get herself in bigger trouble, but she didn't trust them, talking to one of the Capitol Police, and she basically found her way out. But they tracked her down. They basically told her from these free lawyers that she got from two of them. One of them had been disbarred in New Hampshire or Vermont, where she's from, and the other one was from D.C. So these three D.C. lawyers were basically telling her, this is what you got to do. And everyone's been listening to them. That's why they've been going to jail. So we were like, no. And then we basically donated again, American people helping each other out. And we got her a good lawyer, and she got the trial pushed. And that's been happening for a lot of people now. So you can't let them get you into D.C. If you go to D.C. for your trial, you're going to jail, period.
Yeah.
If you stay out of D.C. and get your trial outside of D.C., they probably will just keep kicking it down the road.
Thrown out of court.
Yeah, thrown out of court.
He really did anything wrong. I mean, we can see that with all the released video footage from inside the Capitol.
Right.
Remember the QAnon shaman, that guy, he was just being shepherded around. Here, open a door for him here. Show him this way out. Fortunately, he's been let out. I actually met him at a conference several years before he became famous.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy, big tall guy. It's proof positive that they were being allowed in. No, the Capitol building is one of the most secured buildings in this country. It has magnetic doors that lock so securely. It's like a safe, a bank. So there's no way people are just walking through those doors. They were let in.
Right.
And that's the whole tragedy here, is those people just got set up and that knocked down like a bowling pin. And some of them are still fighting through this very fascist banana republic judicial system in this city state called D.C. Washed up deceit. That's what I call it.
Outstanding. All right. So, yeah, great reveals as usual. Where are you up to next?
Oh, I'm heading down to Sedona next month for Sedona Ascension Retreat. Hoping you would have been there, but I think they mixed up the schedule a little bit. So I'll miss you on this one. And then extended ski trip with my brother and dad out in Colorado and Utah.
Nice.
And then back in April, I've got two big conferences. One's flying out to the eclipse in eastern Texas for this full solar eclipse.
Nice.
And that one is, that's going to be great. It's called Bastrop, Texas. Team Light Productions are selling some tickets for that. And then right after that, the 5G event in Las Vegas the following weekend. And then I'm also going to be out at Journey to Truth in Illinois in May. So real busy conference schedule coming up, but looking forward to it. Love to get out there and meet people and show people your new books, including Awakening of a Warrior. Great new books. People can get these at cccpublishing.com or any of my books, and even Laura Eisenhower's brand new book, Awakening the Truth Frequency. I've just got the pre-press review copies of that. So check out cccpublishing.com, or if you want to see my conference schedule and what else I'm up to, you can go to bradolson.com.
Yep. And here's your books, and really great books. You're on the cutting edge of, as everybody can see, wherever we have these conversations, they can see that you're definitely, speaking the truth out there. So your conferences, looks like they got them in here too.
Yep, that's bradolson.com. That's conference schedule. And then this is the latest catalog. We got to do a new catalog with all the new titles.
Wow.
But it's if you go to the homepage, cccpublishing.com, Laura's book and your book are right on the top there.
Wow, look at that. Wow. That's cool. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, that's beautiful. Look at that. You're right at the top. I'm looking forward to Laura's book. That's going to be really good.
I should send you a review copy, and then you can have her on. And
I would love that. Yeah, I would love to do that. I love Laura's work. I've followed her for many, many, many years, and she's quite a character when you meet her in person. It's like, wow, I thought she might be a little princess, but she's a powerhouse.
Yep, she sure is.
Excellent.
So this is in order of books released. She just took the number one spot above Awakening of a Warrior, Past Lives of a Navy SEAL. And all these books are available on cccpublishing.com. And then on the sidebar there, you can see the investment group that's raising money for the Lost Civilization exploratory trip down there. And there's a link there with Venture Capital Cross. Yep, to that one.
I'll have to donate to that so I can get involved.
Well, I'll let them know that you're interested in joining the team, and
absolutely
go down there together.
That would be so amazing. I would love that. Wow, great! What an experience of a lifetime. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm all over it.
Cool. I'll send them this link once this video goes up.
And very good. Very good. And I'll put the links to all your work into the description box. Anyone's watching, you guys can connect with Brad. And if you've never seen Brad give a presentation, it's one of the best presentations you're going to see. Very, very insightful, very, very great detail and research.
Thank you, Michael. I'll be at the MUFON Symposium in Texas this summer doing my Hidden Anomalies of Antarctica talk in front of 700 people and live stream around the world. So that's a great honor to be asked to speak at that one.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. All right, Brad, thanks so much for coming on. Always a pleasure and honor to have you on. I love our talking and all the work we've been doing together. It's been amazing.
Oh, you bet, Michael. Thanks for having me on. And we'll get you a copy of Laura's new book sent out to you and get her on in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.